knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Hello and welcome to the Regal Beagle podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode in chronological order. But today is a little different. Today is my exclusive talk with Peter Mark Richman, known to Three's Company fans as the Reverend Snow, Chrissy Snow's father. Let me give you the backstory as to how this came to be. Back in 2011, I started my regular podcast that I still do bi-weekly called The Official Danko Jones Podcast. It centers around musicians and sometimes comedians, and I wanted to throw in the odd episode about Three's Company, but it just didn't seem to fit in. I tried working on a special about the show, but nothing really came of it. So I opted to increase my workload and start a second podcast, this Regal Beagle Podcast. But in trying to work on this so-called Three's Company special, I did some groundwork, tracking down actors who had starred in the show. I went deep. I found a lot of emails, and I sent a lot of emails out. I got a few responses, but only one person agreed to talk to me, and that was Peter Mark Richman. So because last week's show with John Cattucci, Season 2, Episode 23, Chrissy Come Home, was Peter Mark Richman's first of three appearances on Three's Company, I've decided to air the talk we had together at this point. Now, Mr. Richman was very kind to respond, and even though his CV is long and far-reaching, he was very patient with me since the only thing I really wanted to talk to him about was Three's Company. You can hear how each of us wanted to steer the conversation in different directions. He wanted to steer it in a certain direction, and I wanted to steer it back to Three's Company. So even though our talk doesn't dish any particular juicy Three's Company details, knowing that, coming into the conversation might add a little more entertainment to it all. I did this interview in 2011, back when Peter Mark Richman was 84 years old. He will be 91 this April. This is one of the first times I ever recorded something off Skype, so there are numerous drops and digital glitches during the conversation, and I wasn't that polished either in terms of, you know, asking him questions. Not that I am now, but I think I've improved since, so keep that in mind as well. I also wanted to mention that last week, in speaking with John Cattucci, I said Peter Mark Richman was a Buddhist. That was incorrect, as you will hear very shortly. It's amazing that I found him. So here he is, Peter Mark Richman, or as we all like to think of him, the Reverend Snow. You have a huge career, but because this podcast is a very specialized podcast, I wanted to talk about your three appearances on between 1978 and 1979 from seasons 2 to seasons 4 of Three's Company, if that's okay with you.
I mean, I only did three shows, and it was, everybody knows it because it has been repeated 5 million times.
Yeah.
And I look like I did 4 or 5 years of it.
Well, you had a very pivotal role playing Reverend Snow, the father of one of the main characters, Chrissy Snow. So it's interesting because your character was plopped when there was two transitions on the show, from the Ropers to Mr. Furley, and from the tail end of Suzanne Summer's stay leaving the show. My question to you is, how was your time on the show as a recurring character?
Well, I had a contract with Progressive Money. And when she, Suzanne Summers, started to get possessive about her contract and wanting enormous amounts of money, they said bye-bye to her, and consequently, it aborted my appearances. So I did three shows, And I said bye-bye. And they said bye-bye because they didn't want to have me representing other than Suzanne Summers.
Right. How was it on set? Was there any tension? Could you feel any tension?
No, I recently saw Suzanne, and we hugged and kissed and all that stuff.
But how about between the other players and the production?
It was all peaceful and warm and jolly.
Can you take me back to the set of Three's Company, working with someone like John Ritter, working off someone like John Ritter? How was it?
He was a lovely young man. Lovely. And it was all amiable and workable. And I enjoyed it while it lasted.
Right. And how did you get the role of Reverend Snow? How was that process?
I was in a show called, what the hell was that called? I don't remember what it's called. It was a comedy in the Westwood Theater. And I was very funny in it. And they saw the show and they bought me.
They contacted you for the role of Reverend Snow. It wasn't you auditioning for...
No, I didn't have to audition. No. My manager said that they want to see you and blah, blah, blah. And I went in and of course, I've done many, many shows and they were familiar with my work.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired me.
Now, it's interesting because you play the character of a reverend. And when I was reading your biography, it said maybe it was wrong, as some of these online bios are, but it said that your real name is Mark Richmond, but you added the Peter for spiritual reasons.
Yes.
If I can ask, what would those reasons be?
Well, I have been in an organization, a sister brotherhood for over 50 years, called Subud, S-U-B-U-D. And it's a contraction of three Sanskrit words, Sushila, Buddhi, Dharma.
Hmm.
And that we all have a place within us that is always in contact with God, or a higher authority, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer God, Almighty. And in most people, it's dormant. It's sleeping. And this inner life. And the Subud is a contact with the power of God. So when you receive this contact in Subud, you have a 3 month probationary period where you ask questions and you get your mind that you want to be opened to the contact. And after 3 months, after you've had all your questions answered, I had no questions, basically. Hmm. I have been opened in 1959, and I have never looked back, but it's been a blessing for me and my family and my wife.
What exactly do you mean when you say opened?
open to the contact.
Right.
When you are a child, when you're born, you have this contact with God or the Almighty or the Supreme Being. You come from that realm. And when you, as you get older, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the rattle, people shake the rattle and they say, boo, 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 blah, 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 blah. And as you get older, you hear the plane and you hear the locomotive and the cars honking. And gradually this contact from the Lord closes, the window closes shut. And by the time you're 10 years old, God, what is that? So Subud, contact, opens the window a little bit.
Okay.
That's what it means. And the reason, the way to do that is that helpers who are entrusted with giving the contact that has nothing to do with your power. It has to do with your being in Subud a length of time. You are able to transfer that contact with anybody who wants to receive it after this probationary period. And this original contact was given to me by, for want of a better word, a messenger from the Lord. We had supreme beings, messengers, Moses, Abraham, Christ, Muhammad, and the supreme being that I'm talking about, I made a movie of him in 1963. His Bapak Subu, S-U-B-U-H, means the dawn in Indonesian, a normal brown-skinned man who was born in Indonesia, and he was designated to be a messenger, but he was a prophet. Mm-hmm. As highly evolved as the prime prophets who I mentioned, Moses, Abraham, Jesus, Muhammad, blah, blah. And he received this contact of enlightenment and received that he was to transport this message or contact. And it's now in 81 countries of the world.
I see.
I'm in Russia, Soviet Russia. There's Subud Israel, Subud England, Subud France, Subud Germany, blah, blah, blah.
And so you were part of this sisterhood, brotherhood in the late 70s when you were on the set? And do you
1959.
So do you think...
One of the first initiates and my wife in the Western world in America.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty huge. Now, do you think this kind of spiritual awakening from 59, do you think that it had some sort of transference when people saw you? You exuded this kind of... Reverend, you know, for the role. I mean, I know you've played many roles on many shows and many movies.
Mostly bad guys.
Yes, I remember reading that you said, and you equated it to the intensity that you could bring to the role. But I'm thinking more of the spirituality that you manifest in your personal life. As coming through in this character that you played on this 70s sitcom, do you kind of think that it's interesting that it was a reverend? And do you also think that it's interesting that of all the shows that you were on, whether it was Dynasty or The Fall Guy or Fantasy Island, I'm contacting you, asking you about the one role you played as a reverend from Toronto, Canada.
Well, I wrote a Four Faces. I'm a writer, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And Four Faces, I played a reverend, a Baptist reverend who has a little problem with the ladies. And that was the first character. And the second character was a Italian-American father who loses his son to drugs. The third character was an SS officer living in somewhere in South America whose grandson comes to visit him. And the fourth character was a 83-year-old Holocaust survivor who is sort of an up character, who was a singing teacher in Austria when the Holocaust happened. Mm-hmm. And so this was an original reverend for me to express what I feel about, and he has faults. And the golden thread of all these characters, the four characters, four faces, they have a tangential relationship to God in their own way. Even the SS officer, whose mm-hmm. mother was a devout woman.
Was this story written? When was this written?
It was 1996. I opened it in Orange County at Chapman University, and I got, it was a one-man show. I got fantastic reviews, and I opened it in a year later or somewhat in Los Angeles, and I played at a little theater in Los Angeles and off Ventura Boulevard. And then I moved to the Odyssey Theater for a couple of months. And then Arthur Penn, the director of the Actor Studio, invited me back to do 3 weeks at the Actor Studio in New York. And unfortunately, there wasn't a theater available other than that. The Actor Studio, I would have moved it.
Sounds exhausting. How long was it?
It was a full evening in the theater.
So yes. An hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Each character was about 22, 23 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And with an intermission I had a timed out where I aged in costume, and I embraced the audience with my changes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the interview or the chat that I had planned in my head with you definitely took a turn just now. And an interesting one. I had no idea that, you know, asking you about spirituality would end up where it ended up. But getting back to the show, how was it like working with people like Norman Fell?
Oh, he's an old friend of mine. It was just like seeing an old buddy.
And
before, you know, I did the show.
Sorry?
He was a friend of mine before I did the show.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
And how is it today? I know you've done many appearances on television. I mean, your CV reads like basically the TV guide of, I mean, it's just every show. What show is it that you get most recognized for?
Well, I get recognized for Three's Company.
The most?
No, it's a very, very famous show, and it had a lot of fans.
Yeah.
And it was repeated, as I say, for years. Yeah. It's still repeated. Mm-hmm. You know, I get recognized for Dynasty and God, I know that guy. Mm-hmm. I know that face. Oh, yeah.
As a very established character actor, how does that feel when, you know, someone can't place you the way they can place, say, like the leading character of a TV or a movie, a TV show or a movie? Is it frustrating in a way? Do you want to just tell them
I accept it.
Mm-hmm.
The older I get, I accept it.
So there was some frustration in the past.
Well, it's annoying, you know.
not getting recognized, but the annoyance is just being unable to place.
Mainly, they don't know my full name.
Right.
They all can get confused with between Mark and Peter Mark, because I've been an actor for 60 years.
Right. Well,
What you started to say, in terms of spirituality, I added Peter, which is my own spiritual name, in the 1970s, and the residual, when I see residuals, Mark Richman, that precedes 1970.
Can I ask you, now that I know the spiritual side of you, what is the connection between Subud and the name Peter? If I could ask, I mean, if it's too personal, it's okay.
Oh, it's not personal. I'll reveal the Bapak Subud, which has nothing to do with Subud. Subud, his name is, he was an Indonesian clerk, you know. He was he gave me the name, he received the name for me. Was Peter.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I was reluctant to use Peter for a couple of years. And then I realized that I should be using Peter. And then I called my agent and I said, I'm changing my name. He said, what? I said, Peter Mark Richman. And he said, I like it.
Hmm.
So I did that, and I confuse a hell of a lot of people.
Right.
And they still call me Mark, and, you know, I accept it.
Right.
And or Peter Mark, and that's the way it is.
Well, Mr. Richman, you will always be the Reverend to me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for this chat. It's been an honor and a thrill, really. This has been great.
Thank you. Do you like to be called Danko or what?
Yes.
Danko. Very nice meeting you.
Very nice meeting you, Mr. Richman. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And have a good day.